Welcome to Real Talk About Real Estate.
What is it with men and asking for directions?
A weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing real estate.
Let's catch up, huh?
Yeah, let's catch up. I got a real estate deal.
I'm taking it to a final walkthrough, you know.
Okay.
Brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on Niles Road, across from Nye's Apple Barn in St. Joseph.
Delighted to meet you. Overjoyed, enraptured, entranced. Are we ready? Yes. Good.
Union Home Mortgage Corp., NMLS, number 2229, an equal housing lender.
I've been in this house before. I know the lady who owns it.
I liked her. She gave me a real good deal for the summer.
Questions can be sent to John R. Wallace at unionhomemortgage.com. Now, here's your host, John Wallace.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace, and I promise to get us finished out tonight before the Michigan game, where the Wolverines, in the Sweet 16, will defeat Oregon tonight. That's how I'm calling it. I have them winning the bracket and winning it all, so I, you know, got to call Michigan. Hey, David Hammerschmidt, Coldwell Banker Advantage, was our scheduled guest tonight. Unfortunately, as we've seen a lot this winter, there went at 70 degrees one day and 20 degrees the next. Cold and flu bugs have been going around, especially if you have children in elementary school, as Dave does, child. Dave caught one of those. So, Dave, we'll get you back another night. And in a little while, we'll have Home Inspector Mike Davis in the studio to talk about home inspections. Cole Duran from National Care Credit going to talk about credit repair as well. A lot of requests from folks to help understand that better. In the meantime, though, let me tell you a little bit about Dave Hammerschmidt, if you don't know him. Right now, he's crossing his 20th year in real estate business. He started just after, actually. I started in mortgages. It's all here in Southwest Michigan, Fister Better Homes and Gardens. That's where Dave started out. Of course, Coldwell Banker Advantage is where he's at now. He's got some great reviews of his work online, including one from Brooke, who says, "I was a first-time home buyer, and David was a great realtor to have for this experience. Took me to homes I wanted to see, and sometimes that was more than once. He was patient and thorough, walked me through the whole process with great communication throughout. Highly recommend David for all your real estate needs." Another one, Tanya says, "David is very easy to work with and will look out for your best interest whether you're searching for a home or selling one. He has a lot of knowledge about the local market and was very helpful in pointing things out to consider when I was looking at homes. He was readily available to answer all my questions. I would highly recommend working with him." Dave's got some really sharp listings right now. Let's look at 2229 Anderson Circle in Stevensville. 3,200 square foot, four bedroom, two and a half bath, gorgeous home in the Lakeshore School District. Two story, single family with a tremendous open, bright floor plan, some vaulted ceilings, a fireplace, the laundry's on the main floor. There's a finished rec room in the basement with a walkout screened in porch. On the main floor, a beautiful deck across the entire back of the house and a huge backyard. The listing price is $389.9. Homes in Lakeshore Schools of this quality, they don't stay on the market long. So if you're interested, call Dave, 269-369-7522, 269-369-7522 for a tour. But as always, make sure you've got a great pre-approval letter ahead of time. And by the way, a pre-approval is not the same as a pre-qualification letter. They're completely different. We'll discuss that another time, or you can reach out to me. I'm not hard to find, and I'll explain the difference. If you're looking for a great home under $150,000, Dave's got an open house this Sunday from 1 to 3 at 2120 Sunrise Lane in Benton Harbor. That's just a beautiful location for only $139.9. Nearly 2 acres of wooded riverfront property with views of the Surrett Nature Center in your backyard, but close enough to be just a few minutes from, say, the Arts District or Lake Michigan, downtown St. Joe, Harbor Shores. If you're a golfer, Lake Michigan Hills is not that far away either, in a different direction. Three bedroom, two bath, 1,700 square foot single built family home with beautiful hardwood floors, fireplace. You'd have to ask, I don't think, if you go look online at the pictures of this house. And again, the address is 2120 Sunrise Lane in Benton Harbor. There's a stuffed bear near the fireplace. I don't know that he stays, but you could ask. It's possible. Openness of the floor plan is just gorgeous. Light comes through the windows here is just wonderful. Also has an outdoor fire pit, a two-car garage with an attached workroom, and a fenced-in dog run. Large kitchen, living room spaces, and fun little lofts and nooks to add a reading room, a game room, or whatever your wife is telling you is going to go there, because that's what's going to happen. She's going to tell you, and that's what you're going to do. And again, you can call Dave Hammersmith, 269-369-7522, 269-369-7522. The open house is this Sunday from 1 to 3. And again, the address is 2120 Sunrise Lane, one word, Sunrise Lane in Benton Harbor. The price, an awesome $139.9. So definitely a house payment that should probably be lower than what folks are paying for rent in the area at the moment. Dave Hammersmith, again, Coldwell Banker Advantage. Easy to find on LinkedIn, Facebook, or just Google search David Hammersmith Realtor, and he comes right back through, right up through there. And Dave, hope you feel better soon. We'll get you back into the studios and on Real Talk About Real Estate in the near future. Coming up next, though, we're going to have Cole Duran in again to talk about, he's from National Care Credit, talking about getting your credit scores fixed before buying a house. Makes a world of difference on your interest rate, what your credit scores are, and that has no bearing on who the lender is. It's the same everywhere you go. We'll be right back.
When calling into Real Talk About Real Estate, we ask that you remember a couple of simple rules.
There are a few provisos, a couple of quid pro quos, like...
Rule number one.
We won't pull your credit report or quote any individual interest rate on the air.
Hey, bloated rates.
Hey, useless overhead. What's up?
Current margin rate.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace. In the studio with me, it's Cole Duran, Regional Director. Do we say Duran or Duran?
Duran.
Duran, yeah, okay.
Just like Duran, so Duran.
Duran. Yeah, yep. The hair fits too.
Yeah.
National Credit Care started with as a grassroots approach to helping, well, most Americans, let's just go with that number at the moment, with the credit inaccuracies that that sit on our credit reports.
It's huge. You're hearing numbers, 60% of all credit reports, 80% of all credit reports, one-third of all credit reports, whatever the case, miscellaneous, erroneous errors on them.
Just to give you a quick example, the first house we bought here, this is back in 94. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, I had back in 1981, had a $4 parking ticket in Kalamazoo that was now a $30 collection, and I had to go fix that. And I went to Kalamazoo, and they went, well, yeah, you paid the $4 ticket in 1981. There is no collection. But it was sitting on my
report, sitting there on your
keeping
report.
Me from buying a house.
Exactly. It's always the case where you go to buy your home, they pull the credit report, and there you see it. You finally see, oh, that's not supposed to be there. Or, you know, you see a lot of divorce-related issues. Oh, that belongs to my wife, or that belongs to my husband. He's supposed to take care of that. So it comes up all the time. And unfortunately, people don't get prepared and look at the credit report before they get their home. They go in to get the home, and that's when it comes up kind of a shock to them.
Well, and the three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, generally, they're all combined, the largest number of complaints by the CFPB. And the three agencies have been talking about fixing this for 25 years plus, and it still doesn't change much. You'll find somebody who spells their name like yours.
Yep.
On a regular basis. Now, National Credit Care helps folks understand their credit report, work directly with creditors to help fix errors or get things removed. Because I will tell you, and I've been working in this business for 20 years, trying to get by yourself stuff fixed on your credit report, it's more than a second job.
Say goodbye to your life.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your life.
So what's it like when somebody works with Care Credit?
Well, from the get-go, you know, they get that first credit analysis, you know, and that's a breakdown from, you know, start to finish of their report. Now, where my competitors are starting and stopping, they're just working on the negative items. That's only factoring into 35% of your score.
Right.
All right, we're actually coaching on the other 65% being your positive credit. Okay, your loans, your credit cards, what to pay, what not to pay, how much to pay. I mean, it boils down to...
Oh, sure.
You know,
because, for instance, on the credit cards, if you're near your limit all the time and not ever getting it down, then your score is going to drop really fast. On the other hand, if you have open credit cards with no balances and you never use them, your scores aren't really going up either, right? Is that correct?
Essentially, what it boils down to is, you know, kind of the balances on the other accounts that you're working with, what type of credit cards you have, what type of loans that you have. The misconception, generally, you know, you have loans and then you have credit cards. You know, people think that, hey, I need to make sure I'm making my large payments on my loans. Meanwhile, their credit cards are maxed out.
Right.
And credit cards not only factor into that 35% of your payment history, but also 30%, which is amount owed every month. That's utilization.
Yeah.
And monthly, if you're over 50% of your credit limit, you're dropping your scores.
Right.
You're dropping your scores. And a lot of the times people, you know, they max out their credit cards and they make nice, you know, $25 minimums. Hey, I'm making my payments on time. That's great. You are helping your score out in that 35%. But,
the other 30.
It's even itself out. You know, you're gaining points and losing points.
Right. And on top of which, if you've got a $3,000 credit card and you're only making that minimum $25 payment, you're essentially going to be 30 years to pay it off because all you're really paying on is the interest for that past 30 days. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about what it's like. Every case is individual. It's different for everybody. But on some averages, how long does it take to help fix somebody's credit?
Right now, we're averaging 20 to 24 points a month. And
wow.
That's what we're averaging as far as an increase in credit scores. We can't drop scores. You know, we're only working on the negative accounts that are already on the credit report. But it boils down to, you know, what kind of negative accounts, like you said, what we're working on. Are we working on collections? Are we working on charge-offs? Are they, you know, charged off installment loans versus charged off credit cards? What's
sure.
the date of last activity attached? You know, when's the last time that you made a payment? Is it paid off? Is it unpaid? Are we working on public records, judgments? Is it a large balance? Do you have to set up a proof of payment rate? You know, I can go all day.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, it just depends on the negative accounts that we're looking for. And that's what we break down on that initial credit analysis. We let them know, hey, we're going to have some really good success here. You know, medical collections, things like that. That's our bread and butter. When that file exchanges hands, it gets sold. Over and over again.
Right. And shows up 3 or 4 times.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So it's dinging you several times on your credit report. We just hold the creditor accountable. You know, the collection agency or the creditor, whoever the case, whoever owns the debt, we hold them accountable. If they don't have a complete file for you and we locate some kind of mistake, inaccuracy, lost paperwork, you know, a lot of the times that's what the case is, especially with medical, they're notorious.
Yeah.
But if we do locate a mistake or an inaccuracy by the Fair Credit Reporting Act, it's got to come off. So we use the bureaus because they, you know, they hold the candle. And
yeah.
they hold the torch at what's on your credit report, what's not, what comes off, what stays. All right, the creditors have no say. So we work through the bureaus put a time frame on the creditors, and we use that against them. Hey, you don't have the proper material, the documentation within this 30 days, well, it's going to have to come off the credit report. You know, they don't keep a complete file, and to be frankly honest, if you can try to imagine how many medical, you know, accounts are out there, I mean, medical bills and collections, there's
right.
too much.
It's almost 80% of bankruptcies in the country,
mm-hmm.
and it is 50% of all of the things showing on people's credit reports around the country. 52% of it is essentially medical collections.
Mm-hmm. They're everywhere, and that's, you know, again, our bread and butter. Once I, you know, break down that initial analysis, let them know, hey, this is what you're going to look like 3, 4, 5 months down the road with our service, with our help. You know, we give them excitement. We get them, you know, back on their goal, which is to get a home loan. A lot of these clients, you know, when they go to get that home, they're denied. They get, you know, a little upset. It's hard. You know,
yeah.
you're wanting to dream homes, things like that. And someone, you know, tells you can't do it. You know, so you're a little sad and you're down in a little gloomy. Our credit analysis is what gets you kind of, you know, perked
pumped
back
up.
Up and get you pumped up and getting that home. We get you a game plan. Point A to point B. This is what you need to do with your positive credit. Here's how to utilize credit cards. Any credit information that we can share with our, you know, clients. We're going to do it.
That's great counseling that, you know, unfortunately, it ties into some personal financial responsibility that we mm-hmm. don't teach in elementary, middle, or high school either.
Exactly.
And we generally, for that matter, really don't teach it in college either. If your parents didn't teach you,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of our parents couldn't teach us because they didn't know. It's really important to, I mean, half of all employers these days are pulling your credit report to see where it's at. If you're renting, your landlord may be pulling your credit report. And if you don't see it, if you don't understand how it works, you can think you're going along just fine,
mm-hmm.
but then you're right. Your scores are not going to be high enough to buy a house. So,
and that's why our program's so effective, you know, because we're deleting your negative, you know, accounts, remarks, whatever's on the report, but we're coaching you. We're coaching you on how to build credit long term, you know, and that's pretty much it breaks down to loans versus credit cards.
Yep.
You know, if you're trying to, you know, build scores on utilizing just loans, it's going to collapse at some point in time. You know, you pay it off eventually, right? Any type of loan,
well,
whether it's 10,
20 that.
Years, you pay it off and you lose some positive payment history because you close, you know, the account closes.
Yeah.
You need to start building these, you know, these credit scores on a credit card, you know, months of positive payment history on a credit card. You know, they don't have a closing date. You can have a credit card open for 10, 20, 30 years. And just every 12 months of good payments, that's another year's worth of positive payment history you're stacking into your score.
I tell folks regularly, too, for instance, who need to do that because maybe there isn't any active account showing on there. Even a $500 credit card's a start. You know, but A, don't let it get over 250, but B, I use that in the sense of instead of using my debit card to pay when I fill up the gas tank and there goes $30, use the credit card, then go back to your bank and pay it off. Log in online, you look at your checking account or your savings account every month mm-hmm. and see how you're doing or where cash flow is and just run instead
10%,
of using
10% right. of your credit limits where you want to be. Each and every month, use 10% of your credit limit, wait for your billing date, make the payment. It doesn't have to be all the way to zero. You can pay it off though.
Yeah.
And then next month, rinse and repeat, go out and do it again.
National Credit Care, just like it sounds, .com is the website. Is there an 800 number? How do we get started if I'm interested?
Absolutely. And it's 866-595-6313. And that's going to take you over our credit consultation team. or you can speak to any representative. I used to be one of the representatives you spoke with over the phone. But you're going to speak to our team. They're going to, you know, break it down with you. We have the means to look at a credit report without, you know, hurting your scores, without an inquiry. It's not a hard pull. It's a soft pull. We can take a peek at your credit report and we'll break down, hey, are you going to be a good fit for my program or are you not going to be a good fit? You know, there's, you know, about 5% of the people that I speak with aren't a good fit. You know, I actually turned down somebody last night, but I still gave him his, you know, grade A game plan. You know,
sure,
he knows
this
exactly
is what you need to do.
Exactly. So on his end, he knows he just needed to, you know, pay down his cards. He only had a couple late payments. That was it. That was it. No collections, no charge-offs, no public record, just a couple lates and maxed out credit cards. He just needed to pay them down. I gave him a couple, you know, tips, quick avenues to gain some quick points that he knows he'll take. But hopefully in a couple months, he'll be able to close on that loan. And that was, again, without utilizing my service. They're still, my consultations are free. All our consultations are always free. So at least, you know, take advantage of that. You know, come, you know, call in, speak to a specialist.
Yeah. Get started.
Exactly. We'll break down. Even if you don't start up with us, you'll still at least, you know, know where you're at. You'll know what's on your credit report, what's not. You'll know what to do, you know, what not to do. We'll break down for you so that way you can start getting your, you know, financial well-being back in order. Start getting on top. You know, this is absolutely huge. What credit scores, they affect your car insurance, your monthly auto payment, your monthly mortgage, your credit card and your interest rate.
Everything that you're borrowing is tied to your credit
scores. Everything is tied to your credit scores. So if you can imagine, you know, getting yourself up to a, you know, the difference between a 600 and 680 is roughly $120,000 on a 30-year mortgage.
Right.
$120,000 on a 30-year mortgage. Sure. And that's just 80 points. So you're down there in the 400s and 500s, and we're going to get you 600, 700 scores. We're saving you hundreds of thousands of dollars on interest.
Not only on that life of loan, but the car insurance, the home insurance. A lot of folks don't understand, for instance, that let's say I have a minor credit card and I make one 30-day late. Well, every other credit card I have can immediately jump my rates to the max that they're allowed because I just demonstrated that I'm having a hard time paying my bills on time, or I can't, whatever happened there. The old excuse of, oh, I didn't get the bill in the mail, that doesn't fly. Because today,
not
you
anymore.
Know, everything's electronic anymore. Whether you're pulling it up on your phone or you're pulling it up on the internet, that just doesn't, the dog ate my homework. That just,
it doesn't fly anymore.
That doesn't work. And it is, and not only hundreds of thousands of dollars, as you said, on the mortgage, but it's hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and your homeowner's insurance. And then again, the interest rates that you get charged on credit cards, too.
With credit, how to build it, how to continue to keep a high score without hurting it. You're going to know what damages you, what doesn't damage you, what you can do, what not to do. I mean, the biggest misconception out there is, you know, collection items, paying on collections. If you pay a collection, your scores will drop. And the reason is,
because they stop reporting.
once an item goes to collections, it's sold to collections, the balance stops affecting you.
Yeah.
Okay, now obviously if you're going for a loan, it's going to affect your debt to income ratio, but as far as your score is concerned, the balance is not affecting that score. It's how new that collection is. You can have a zero balance collection or $10,000 collection. They're, as far as the balance is concerned, they're hurting your score all the same.
Yeah.
The one that's actually hurting you more is whichever one's newer. And as you make a payment on collections, what happens is the data last activity updates. Simply makes that credit, or excuse me, that collection look new instead of old. Drops your scores. And it'll stay on your credit report for 7 years from the day that you pay it off.
Right.
That's the thing. So you're paying your collections. You're naturally thinking, hey, I want a home. I need to eliminate my debt. Let's pay some of these collections off. You know, I'm only 5 points away. And then you pay your collections. And
the scores drop because you're not using the other part that affects scoring as well. Cole, thanks for coming in. And thanks for driving into town. I appreciate it. And continued success at helping people fix their credit.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace. In the studio today, it's Mike Davis. Davis, do we say Mike or Michael?
Mike is great.
From Davis Home Inspections here in Southwest Michigan, covers the entire region of Southwest Michigan from your website. And Mike, welcome to the show. You and I were just talking, and in the state of Michigan, building inspectors, there's no license. Like, I have a license, and realtors have a license, but in Michigan, there's no license for inspectors.
No, not for home inspectors, no. There is no regulation over home inspectors, which is kind of weird, but that is the case. So that all being said, then I have tried to set myself apart to make myself so somebody would want to hire me.
That makes choosing a home inspector, and there are several in the area that I don't know any personally,
I know there's several in the area. Because yes. We, on the lending side, we don't hardly ever see the inspection unless there's some major problem that has to get fixed, like you know, structural roof issues, for instance.
Right.
Picking a home inspector then becomes much more important in that background of knowing you're getting somebody who's, well, in your case, nationally certified. Now, tell us about your background.
Right. So I am actually a retired teacher, and I always did construction building in, you know, of course, in the summers and on the weekends and everything like that. And I got out of teaching and I decided I want to do something different. And home inspection was just a great fit for me because it allows me to do the thing that I love. And it also allows me to teach people about their homes.
Tell us about the national. You've got several certifications on your website. What you went through to get those certifications?
Right. So I, you know, went through formal training with American Home Inspectors Training Institute, and that was a formalized process. It was, you know, you had to take classes and technical classes, and so I'm certified through them, and I'm also certified through the International Society of Home Inspectors. It's InterNACHI. So then I have certification in continuing education that I have to update through them. And I've also passed the National Home Inspectors Examination. So I've got three different credentials that I like to use to try to offset that fact that we don't have to be licensed.
Yeah, well, that background certainly fits. If I'm buying a house, first-time home buyer, even if I'm not a first-time home buyer, walk me through what you do when you go into a house to do an inspection. This is not like, occasionally we'll hear complaints from folks who go, well, the appraiser was only in my house for 10 minutes.
Yeah. The appraisal is totally a different animal.
Yeah.
So they're looking at the price of the house. I'm doing the inspection to put the buyer in a better position to buy an informed buying decision. So what I do is I'll go through, I look at everything that's visible. So I'm looking at the roof, looking at the foundation. I look at the drainage. I look at electrical, plumbing, all the mechanicals, and then report any deficiencies that I see in those items. And so that way the homeowner can look at that and say, in some cases, sadly, they look at that and say, well, I think we might walk away. Or they look at that report and say, okay, this is what needs to be fixed. These are the resources that I have to fix it. Maybe the seller will negotiate fixing some things, that nature. That's what the inspection process is about. And if there's not a lot of things wrong with it, then it just gives somebody peace of mind.
It's just so rare these days. Even on new built houses, sometimes you find mistakes and errors. I've seen them. But there is no essentially perfect house. You know, that you don't have to be aware that at some point in time, you're going to have to replace this furnace, but it may be this many years down the road, or the water heater. Sometimes you see things like when it comes to FHA inspections and rural development, the drainage pipe for the hot water heater is not the right distance from the floor,
right.
You know, little things like that.
Yeah, I ran into an inspection last week where I went to test the water heater, and there's a pressure relief valve on that water heater. And as soon as I turned the water heater up, it started leaking everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is not a big, it's not a hard fix, but it's a huge safety thing. And that's one of the things that I look for. It's not just what's wrong. It's if I find safety items, you know, like a hot water heater, or maybe the in the kitchen or the bathroom, they don't have ground fault circuit interrupters in there. Or, you know, maybe there's wiring deficiencies in the main electrical panel. And those are things that need immediate attention.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you'll see, I own the house and I live in the house and I'm a handyman kind of guy. I'm not saying I am, but, you know, so I've done some wiring to fix things the way I wanted it, or I've added something into the electrical panel and it's not quite properly there. GFI outlets is a... we see those in appraisals on a regular basis where on an FHA, again, or rural development or VA, if they aren't there, you can't close until they're done. Well, I always wonder why folks don't go, okay, I know this is coming. Why don't I fix that before I
let somebody
in?
Yeah, those are easy fixes. And with a GFCI, those have to be, like I said, I am not a code inspector. I don't enforce building code, and that's a big thing. If I see something that is a safety problem, or a code violation, I don't report it as that. I report it as a safety violation. So GFCIs, you know, they need to be within, if you're going to plug something
near a sink,
6 feet of water, that's pretty much the rule.
Yeah. When did you stop teaching? How long have you been doing inspections?
I've been in going on my third year now. So, you know, I was a teacher for over 20 years and wanted to do something different.
Yeah. What school district?
Well, I taught for Michigan Department of Corrections, and I also did adult education for Conexus.
Okay. Great organization, Conexus. Tell me about how the summers of doing construction.
Well, like I said, when I was a teacher, you just have spare time, and I mean, not during the school year, but people need remodeling done. I've done remodeling for myself. I've renovated many, many houses, built barns, built garages, all those kinds of things. And I think new construction is really fun, but I really like the renovations. But that's just me. When you tear a house apart, you really see how that it's built, and you know, there's just so many things that can go wrong.
Well, yeah, and I love older homes where you've got bigger beams and natural woodwork that maybe people have painted over. Mm-hmm. You know, those turn of the century 1890s to 1920s kind of homes they're just different than what we tend to put up these days.
Yeah, the older homes are really beautiful and they're nice and they're nice layouts, but the building practices back in that day are not the same as they are now.
No.
And then as things age, of course, you're going to have problems. You know, I go and see girders and joists and things in a crawl space or in a basement that probably at that time, that's the building structure that they did. But now, maybe the floors are sagging a little bit, or I might find termite damage, in these older homes, and those are the things that I look for. So somebody knows, hey, this is obviously has to be fixed.
Right. And you can, you can be standing outside and look at the roof of a house and go, well, those shingles look okay. Well, that doesn't tell you anything about what's going on underneath the shingles.
Right. Right. So, the one thing, a lot of times I see the shingles might be all right, but maybe they weren't installed correctly. There's a lot of different installation techniques and, people cut corners. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the roof's going to leak, but, a lot of times it might be a situation where there's a higher probability of leakage. So, look at the roof installation. I look at the flashing, particularly chimneys. Chimneys are notorious for flashing. I always look at those. And when I'm looking in the attic, I'll look at the sheathing underneath that to see if that's, a lot of times there's always moisture stains because it's leaked at some point. A lot of times if it's leaking, then they'll go and put tar on the flashing. And if the chimney is flashed correctly, you shouldn't have to put any tar on it. But people don't know that. They just go throw tar on it. And then the problem is, it might stop the leak, but it's going to have ongoing maintenance. And if it's done correctly, you shouldn't need roof tar.
I have roof tar on mine. I know. But I've also got, there's some vents I know in my roof, for instance, where if I'm standing on the roof cleaning it off in the fall, for instance, after leaves and branches and stuff have come down, there are a couple of soft spots that, and near generally where there's some sort of vent that wasn't flashed correctly, and so that plywood or whatever's underneath the shingles is a little soft, and I'm going to have to go up there at some point, or I'm not going to hire somebody to go in and do it.
And that's the thing. And most of the times, if I can get on a roof and walk on it, I will absolutely do that, because you want to look for those soft spots. If there's been some leakage and it's damaged the sheathing, then it's going to be soft. And that's something that you want to be addressed. And those are a little harder fixes because you have to tear off the roof sheathing and take everything out and replace it. But flashings are definitely something that you want to keep an eye on. And most people, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind.
Yeah. And I'm hopefully you're not crawling on any of those, two-story really steep roofs fronting downtown St. Joe for those older houses.
No, that's an important point, because as an inspector, I have so many systems that I look at, and I've got to be safe. And if there's something that is, I have equipment that I use, but I'm not going to bring in scaffolding and bring in a cherry picker to look at a roof. I do the best job that I can.
Well, you'd still get up into the attic.
Yeah, you can get into the attic, and then I look at things visually from the east. And then try to do the best, and like on a really high roof and a really steep pitched roof, I look at it as best as I can. And then again, you go into the attic and see if there's any leaks.
Yep. one of the things I noticed on the website, tied to your national and international accreditations, is the guarantee.
Yep.
If you missed something on an inspection, tell me about that guarantee.
Yeah, well, it's through InterNACHI. It's the International Society of Certified Home Inspectors. And basically what it is if I miss something in the inspection, they will buy your house back. And they have. Not from me. Not for me. I don't know. But I do offer that. And there's a few stipulations. Of course, it has to be.
We're not talking 6 years down the line.
Right. It has to be within 90 days. The house has to be listed by a licensed real estate agent. That is one of the stipulations. And it also has to be something that it doesn't include latent defects. And if there's something wrong with the insulation that was behind a covered wall, obviously I can't see that.
Right.
So it only covers things that I can visibly see at the time of the inspection.
Yeah, it's like general termite pest inspections when they're done. They're not tearing the drywall off.
Right.
And then the entire
house
to look behind the drywall. Mike's phone number is 369-2789. 269, of course. 269-369-2789. The website is davisinspects.com. Do you want to tell me how about pricing at all? And
sure. You know, my average inspection is probably about $325, and that's
wow.
That's, you know, there's variables, but I base my pricing on square footage of the house, age of the house. So the older homes take me longer.
Sure.
You know, like if it was built in the 20s or, you know, 1900, those houses take a long time. That is a huge factor in my pricing, but that's average. It can go more, maybe a little bit less, but 325 is typically my average.
And my understanding is there are folks out here charging $600, $700, $800 to do a home inspection in the market. Am I wrong about that?
I think I'm pretty competitive. I know there's
no
other.
$325 sounds really competitive.
Well,
to me.
There's other inspectors around, and you know, some are actually cheaper than me. Some are a little bit more. I'm kind of middle of the road, but I'm local, and my clients that I've worked for or done business with before like my work, and I think that's a fair price.
That's a good testimony. Talk about the area that you cover, because you're not running over to Bangor. Nope. Bangor close enough?
No, I do. Yeah, I do Bangor. I do go to Kalamazoo. I've been to Holland and Saugatuck. I've been to Niles, New Buffalo, Dowagiac. Pretty much this whole south, you know, within an hour's drive is pretty reasonable for me.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, just want to talk about the, you know, specific things. I mean, I won't go into a lot of detail, but there's probably 500-600 items that, and I think my website says 400, but I know there's more items that I inspect. But, you know, basically what I look at is, you know, of course, I'm going to look at the roof. Then the foundation, I look at all the electrical systems, the mechanicals, and the plumbing. And I think the major thing that a lot of people don't realize is that I really focus on is the exterior drainage, because water in the basement is a huge.
It's pretty common here, too.
It's common. I very rarely walk in or go into a basement and don't see some sort of moisture intrusion. And I can say that's a big thing that I look at. And most of those moisture problems can be solved by, you know, having proper grading around the foundation, mm-hmm. having gutters and downspouts working. You know, downspout extensions need to be about 5 to 6 feet away from the home. And if you've got minor water intrusion problems, 90% of those can be solved by just having proper grading and working downspouts.
Yeah, I think we're on our sixth house. Since my wife and I have been married, and we've run into that in three cases, and in all of them, we just rose, whether it was pea gravel or just the landscaping itself, graded mm-hmm. it away from the house, and yep. then and the one we're in now, and of course, when we bought the house, the disclosure of never have water in the basement, ever, never had a problem. Now, that inspector had a moisture meter and went through and pointed out a couple of spots in the cinder blocks that mm-hmm. were a little moist, but the first major storm we had, we had waterfalls coming in the window wells because the windows wells weren't properly covered. Well, fix that. And then we bought, it blows, doesn't matter, you know, the plastic tubing and took the downspouts and buried them. I'm more than 5 feet. They're a good 10 feet long, yep. 8 something. And they're buried under the ground way out far yep. away and covered at the end so no animals can crawl yep. up. And we haven't really had any water problems in the basement since. So it doesn't have to be that, oh, I've got to go hire somebody to dig up the exterior of the foundation all the way around the house and seal it. Well, you could do that too if you have the money, but lots of times it's easier to do.
You know, the biggest thing is just make sure that the grading, you should have a slope to it. It's 6 inches for 10 feet. Make sure that's just got a general slope away from it. So any water that does not, that comes off the roof that is not captured by the gutters, if it lands on the ground, it needs to be directed away from the foundation. And the biggest thing that I find, a lot of houses I look at, they'll either have run the foundation, the grading is either neutral, or in some cases it's negative where it's
sloping back into the basement.
That's not a good situation.
Yeah. Well, again, Mike Davis, Davis Home Inspection. The phone number is 269-369-2789. And the website is davisinspects.com. Davis, just like it sounds, D-A-V-I-S, inspects, I-N-S-P-E-C-T-S.com. Quick, clean, and easy to find. And appreciate your time today. I hope that some folks who are looking at buying houses and wondering whether or not they should get a home inspection will make that choice.
Nope, it's always a good idea to have home inspection. Always. I mean, it's such a big investment. And like I say, you need to know what's wrong with it, and or you just need that peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mike, thanks for coming in today. Have a great week.
You're welcome. You too.
That'll about do it tonight on Real Talk About Real Estate. I told you I'd get us done before the Michigan game. As you should know by now, the Federal Reserve raised the prime rate this month, as was expected. But what you probably didn't know is that mortgage rates actually fell after that happened. A lot of folks think now that mortgage rates are directly tied to the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond, but that's not really true. The most important factor is whether or not investors are buying or selling the mortgage-backed securities that are sold by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae. So aside from the minimal increase on the 15th, the minute the Federal Reserve announced their rate hike, mortgage rates actually fell, and by a good quarter to 0.75%. That's because, in general, investors most everywhere like stability. And the Federal Reserve's rate hike meant that signs for our U.S. economy, low unemployment, wage growth, though it's for my taste, for most families in America, wage growth is still not high enough. But all of those signs point to growth in U.S. productivity, the gross domestic product, and, yes, good signs for the housing industry. I mentioned earlier tonight that there's a difference between a pre-qualification and a pre-approval letter that all buyers need before you're going to make an offer. For that matter, you should have that done before even going to the open houses, because homes in reasonable condition that are priced right are flying off the market faster than sometimes you can even see them. I know Fred Milowski was going to show some houses on Sunday last weekend, and even before he could get there, they were sold and gone. So a pre-approval letter helps you make a solid, clean offer. Now, pre-qualification is what a lot of banks and credit unions use, because while they've looked at your credit, they haven't actually looked at your bank statement, your pay stubs, and your tax returns yet. So that's considered a pre-qualification. When you're pre-approved, that just means that your loan officer has actually seen those documents, bank statements, pay stubs, maybe a retirement account, tax returns, and W-2s. So there is no doubt in anybody's mind that when you make an offer and it's accepted, you will be able to fly through underwriting and get cleared to close. So pull your documents together. It's not that hard. Sit down with somebody who's licensed, trained, can explain all of your options to you clearly, and, you know, would be available when you need them, even if that's evenings or weekends, because most often that's when you're not at work and you're able to ask questions then or work with your lender to take care of what needs to be done. This weekend in Southwest Michigan, from Saugatuck on down to New Buffalo, over to Edwardsburg and the rest of Cass, Berrien, and Van Buren, and Allegan counties, there are more than 30 open houses. We're going to have great weather this weekend, maybe a little rain, but beautiful warm temperatures. There's a lot of open houses, and I would bet you that more than half of those houses are going to be sold by the time Monday morning comes around. So make sure you're pre-approved, not just pre-qualified, and ready to secure that new home before somebody else gets it instead of you. I'm amazed when my realtor friends tell me about closings that took 45, 60, or even 90 days to get closed. Now, if there was something in the house that didn't pass inspections and needed to be fixed, that's different. But more often than not, it's really because, and the realtors will tell you, the buyer's working with a lender that's not efficient, or a loan officer that doesn't really have the knowledge and training necessary and misses something that causes delays. And often because the buyer's working with a lender who's not in Michigan, or at least not in Southwest Michigan. And those folks move at their own pace, as well as not knowing our area. Lots of times, if you're calling into one of the online folks, what you're really dealing with is some 23-year-old kid who doesn't know anything about mortgages other than what's on the computer screen in front of him. If you go back over the past 18 months with Union Home Mortgage, and we're a national lender in the 35 states, last I checked, our average time to close from your complete application till the day you get to the keys to the house is less than 21 days. Less than 21 days. Why? Because mortgages is all we do. We're not slowed down by trying to get you to open a checking account or getting you to meet with our wealth advisors or whatever other side products that banks and credit unions generally require their loan officers to sell in order to meet quotas. I know. I've worked for them. So if you're looking for expertise, strong community relationships, flexibility to work according to your needs, not my needs or the loan officer's needs, call us. We're not hard to find. Thanks again to Mike Davis of Davis Home Inspections for coming by tonight. Get a home inspection when you're buying a house, even if it's not your first house. It's your second, third, or fourth house in your lifetime that you've bought. Get a home inspection. And also to Cole Duran from National Care Credit. And be sure to look at the listings that David Hammersmith has out right now at Caldwell Banker Advantage. And again, open house Sunday 1 to 3 at 2120 Sunrise in Benton Harbor with Dave Hammersmith. Let's go blue. Have a great night. Go get a Michigan win over Oregon. I'm John Wallace. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on Real Talk About Real Estate.
You've been listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, a weekly conversation about buying homes in Southwest Michigan. Questions and comments can be sent to John R. Wallace at UnionHomeMortgage.com. Brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on Niles Road across from Nye's Apple Barn in St. Joseph. Union Home Mortgage Corp. NMLS number 2229. Real Talk About Real Estate. We'll be back next Thursday on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.